Let me pray. Gracious Father, as you spoke through your Son to the disciples that day on the Lake of Galilee, we pray now that you would speak to us through your word by your Holy Spirit, that we may encounter you and be changed to live the lives you call us to. We ask this for our good, the blessing of our neighbours, and the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the opening scene of the play The Silver Slipper, we meet its hero, Brother Rodrigue, lashed to the mast of a ship which has been sunk by pirates drifting on this piece of wood in a raging ocean. Brother Rodrigue says to God that he's fastened on the cross, but the cross on which I hang, he says, is not fastened to anything else. It drifts upon the sea. Now, I confess that I've not seen this play. In fact, I don't really know anything about it. But I read this illustration in the Introduction to Christianity by Pope Benedict. And he suggests that this picture describes the situation the believer finds himself in. Only a loose plank bobbing over the void seems to hold him up, and it looks as if he must eventually sink. The believer clings to the cross and is constantly threatened by a sea of doubt. But, Benedict suggests, the unbeliever is in fact in the same position, constantly troubled by doubts about her unbelief. And this is the paradox of God, the paradox of human life. We long for there to be more to life than simply the stuff of matter, more than eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We long for love to last forever. We want truth to be real and not just the will of those in power. We long for there to be goodness which cannot be undone. We long for beauty that lasts. We have an inkling that something, someone perhaps beyond us, holds everything together if only we could touch him. But we're not sure. We're unwilling to commit until we are. The believer is assailed by doubts. The unbeliever is haunted by the possibility that God may be there. In short, Benedict writes, there is no escape from the dilemma of being human. One problem that we have is that we can reduce God to our comprehension, to something that we can grasp, perhaps even something we can control. But of course, this is absurd. If God exists, he cannot be put under a microscope. He's much bigger than our field of vision. He contains all things. How could we contain him, much less control him? We are a part of his creation. He's the one who made and upholds all things. We come to an end of ourselves long, long before we come to the end of him. And yet we're not sure. How can we know? Well, the encounter the disciples had with Jesus that we read in Matthew's gospel this morning well captures this dilemma. If you had to look if you had a look at this text in the Bible, you would see that it comes immediately after Jesus miraculously feeding the 5,000. It's evening, and now he sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee by boat, while he himself has taken some time out with God to pray. Now, just as an aside, this is always a very good thing to do: take time out to pray with God. It's often that we find God in solitude and quiet. And maybe one of the reasons we do find it hard to find God is because we're never alone. And when we are, we have to have the TV, the radio, social media, all in our ears and our eyes. Maybe we're afraid of what we'd find if we were simply alone with God and our own thoughts. Anyway, the scene shifts to the disciples on the boat. They struggle against the wind and the waves through the night. To step onto a vessel and cast out to sea is to know your limitations. You can only go where the boat goes. The sea and the sky are ever so much bigger than you. You can only fight against the wind and the waves for so long before you're overwhelmed. The mariner knows that life is fragile, precarious. No matter the freedom of the ocean, you still have to come back to shore to place your feet on solid ground. Those maritime metaphors embedded in our language help us to grasp something of the nature of life. We want life to be smooth sailing. We want to keep an even keel. But we can find ourselves all at sea, in the storm, decks awash, battling against the wind and the waves. And this is where the disciples found themselves, battling all night, tossed to and fro on the waves. But then they saw a figure coming toward them, walking on the water. And this was totally outside of their experience. This sort of thing simply just does not happen. We know it doesn't happen. They knew it didn't happen. And yet here was this figure. They were terrified. They thought it was a ghost. But what does Jesus say? Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. There's a little clue as to what's going on here in Jesus' words. It is I. In Greek, these are ego eimi, which could be translated as I am. And this is, in fact, the name by which God reveals himself and calls himself in the Old Testament, the name revealed to Moses and to his ancient people, the Jews. When Jesus says, I am, he's not just telling the disciples, don't worry, it's me. He is also hinting that he somehow shares in the identity and being of the God of Israel, the one true God who made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in it. This is who Jesus claims to be, whom the New Testament records Jesus to be, whom Christians have always believed Jesus to be. God come in the flesh. God come as one of us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. And if that is true, then walking on water is a miracle, yes, extraordinary, yes, but no big thing for the one who made all things. As one writer put it, he can find a place for the sole of his foot in everything that he has made. It's quite nice, isn't it? Jesus' words and actions reveal who he is. He is totally outside the realm of our experience and yet just what we long for. God touching the world. The encounter's not yet over. Peter says, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out to you on the water. Always impetuous, ready to jump in. You see, we may be somewhat uncomfortable at the idea of Jesus walking on water. I guess he can do that sort of thing if he is God, but we can leave it over there in the, it's a bit too hard, I don't really know, basket. It'd be nice if it were true, but I'm not so sure. Perhaps God does exist, and it'd be nice for him to show up once in a while just to tell us he's there. But in any case, he's probably should be busy feeding the hungry and that sort of thing. And I'll just get on with my life. Thank you very much. Peter's question, though, says God cannot remain at arm's length. He will transform our lives. And this is the challenge of faith. And it is decidedly uncomfortable because it means you and I have to get out of the boat. But notice that faith also means trust. Lord, if it is you, we can only get out of the boat if it is indeed Jesus. But if it is him, in all he says he is and in all that he has done, well, then anything is possible. Not only can he find a place for the sole of his foot in everything that he has made, but he can make solid ground for us to walk upon when he calls. The challenge of faith is to hear Jesus' call and to obey. Now, I suspect not many of us will find we walk on water. But the miracle we will find is that we are changed from the inside out. Relying on him, we'll be freed from relying upon ourselves, which is to say we'll be freed from our pride and selfishness and released to love our neighbours as in fact God has made us to do. In fact, if you want to see God at work, you have to step out in faith. You will not experience God's power if you stay sitting on your bum in safety in the boat. What does Jesus say to Peter? Come. And incredibly, Peter gets out of the boat and steps towards Jesus. And Jesus' call to Peter is his call to each one of us. But when Peter saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? I love this moment because it speaks to the reality of our experience of faith. The storms of life, the doubts that we have, they are real. They threaten to overwhelm us. And it is not safe outside the boat. But Jesus is always there. And he's always stronger. And it's only when we keep our eyes fixed upon him and not the storm around us that we will be able to step forward. And when we falter, which we inevitably will do, his hand is always there to catch us. Well, the encounter ends with Peter and Jesus climbing back into the boat. The wind dies down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Peter has encountered Christ. He's stepped out in faith. Jesus has caught him when he's sinking, and now back in the boat, Peter and his disciples worship Christ. And the encounter ends with corporate worship. This is a picture of the church. To step out in faith is personal, but in the end, it is not private. It has to be corporate. You have to get into the boat with the other disciples. And that means, very straightforwardly, coming to church. Because, you see, it's here in church that we actually see Christ at work in the lives of our spiritual brothers and sisters. It's one of the great joys I have as a minister to see that every week. It's here that we find peace in the storm. Because indeed Christ is here with us. What Peter and his disciples encountered that hour before dawn on the Sea of Galilee is no less real than what we encounter today. The same Jesus who spoke to them in the midst of the storm speaks his words to you and me today. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. The same Jesus who called Peter to step out of the boat calls you and me today. Come. Come. Will you hear his call? Will you take that step of faith? And entrust yourself to the one with whom you will always find solid ground? Will you join together with the disciples and all who have found his hand grasping theirs in the storm, and worship him who's here amongst his people in his church. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are here, that we can take courage, that we need not be afraid because of who you are and what you've done. Creating, sustaining all things, redeeming us by your cross. We thank you that you call each one of us to come to you. And we pray in your mercy you would give us that courage to take that step out of the boat. And we thank you that when we do, you are always there to catch us. We pray this for your name's sake. Amen.